Definitely. Here we go. Love University. We're back in session, episode 14 with Dr. Avila.
Yes, we are. Here we are.
And today, guys, we want to clarify something before we begin this course. We're taking the fall course already, but
yes.
One thing we want to get to you is that we don't want to come to you and preach to you. If this helps you, great. If it doesn't, great. But for those that does, that's where we're concentrating our energy on, because yes, we realize in life there's two types of people. People that are receptive and people that are not. And those that are, we thank you and thank you for being loyal. Here's episode 14. What are we going to talk about?
Well, to that point, Gene, the phrase is, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
That's true.
So, you know, we're, you know, hopefully teachers and helping people, so they need to be ready, you know, and they are. Our today's topic is really something very fascinating and something that we really think about sometimes and sometimes we don't. The idea of how to live forever, how to have an amazingly long life.
Okay.
That's both happy and long. And, you know, think about the idea of death, right? You know, this is something that scares a lot of people and, you know, intimidates a lot of people as well. But, you know, it's a very interesting idea, the idea that, you know, we're not going to live forever. But there's new technology, actually, in science that actually can make life longer. People are talking about living 150, 200, 300 years, or even longer, possibly, with technology. And, you know, 70% of people say they want to live to be 100 years of age.
Yeah.
So people do want that.
And that's happening because they call it biomatrix and all these, like, AI, artificial intelligence, that they're saying human nature is going to another level because of the fear of death, and they want to be immortal.
In a sense, yeah, and we're going to talk about the good and bad of that, but I mean, the idea is that, you know, they say that there's 15 dead people for every life person in our Earth, so if we have 7 billion people, there's 100 billion people have died.
Damn.
So, in other words, being alive just by itself is we're winning the game.
That's true. You know, we're still in the action scene,
we're
right?
We're still in the action, right? We're in that little scene. And the question is, you know, do you want to live longer, and why?
Uh-huh.
I mean, some people say, yeah, I want to live longer because I want to accomplish more in life, experience more. I want to see my grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren, or even great-great-grandchildren. You know, I want to be able to teach them.
See my bloodline carry on, you know?
Exactly, legacy. And also, it helps the younger generation, because they learn from the wise people. You know, if you live longer, you're going to have more to give them.
Yeah.
So there are definitely good advantages to, you know, living a longer life, as long as you're healthy and
and you know what? That's the sad part, that according to our society, especially here in America, is that we kind of, like, neglect our elderly as soon as we see that they're not functional for society. I mean, the governmental system, you know, puts them aside, and then you send them to convalescent home. Instead of creating a program where you can learn from these people and learn from the mistakes that they made, and they can talk to us, we should do something like that, a podcast one day with somebody older and see what they have to offer.
Definitely, yeah. And they have centenarian clubs in the world, you know, people that are over 100. And Japan has, you know, the largest number of centenarians.
Yeah.
And many times they do treat them, you know, the elderly person sits at the head of the table, you know, they could be 95 or 100 years old.
Yeah.
And there's a great respect. But on the other side of the coin, what is the bad thing about living too many years? Now, I do a class in psychology, as you know, at the university, and ask people, who wants to live to be 100? And, you know, some people say yes. Some people say no. You know, 60, 70, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know the phrase, live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't recommend it necessarily.
Botox now.
But, yeah, some people say, you know, why live so long? Because, in a sense, death gives meaning to life. You know, if you have a limited amount of time, you're going to be, you know, motivated to do a lot of things.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah, if you live to be 500, okay, 100 years, I'll just screw around, right?
Another 100 years. Cares? I'm a vampire, bro.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Exactly. Or they might not even start families. Let's say you live to be 300 years of age.
Yeah.
You may not even have more children. And the other disadvantage is possibly that these advantages may be only for the rich, you know, the new technology we're going to talk about, the science.
Well, do you see that movie Elysium? That's the whole idea behind it, that they pioneer and they went to create another space station up in sky, and only the elite were able to live there. And that's what they're saying. It's a lot of people are saying that could happen in the future, you know?
Yeah, it could be economic discrimination based on your ability to pay, you know, for these technologies. Now, let's talk about technologies. You've heard, of course, what's called cloning, right? It's asexual reproduction, where you can clone actually organs. One of the reasons for death is really organ failure, so kidneys, heart, and brain. So the idea is you can actually clone it, you know, put a new brain in or heart, you know, every 110 years.
Man.
So you can basically restart yourself.
Huh? It's like, you know what, I like the kidneys that are right there. Let's bring them over.
Yeah. I mean, that's one idea people are working on, you know, doing it with rats and animals. The other thing is using young blood to help rejuvenate the older
people. The plasma, right?
The plasma, yeah. So they've done that with mice, and they put it in the older mice, and, you know, they had a little more brain capacity.
Well, they say that the Kardashians actually do that they call it the vampire treatment. They take away their blood, and then then they inject back the plasma, and it regenerates your cells to think that, you know what, you're always healthy and you can always be strong. And as a system, an organic system, you can destroy any virus that comes in.
Yeah, I mean, they're still experimenting with that. I mean, trying to get the ingredients out of it. Maybe make it a pill, right? Some, you know, pill you can take. The other one that's really kind of far-fetched is something called the Avatar, where you can actually download your brain into a computer. And you live in a virtual reality world where you're actually inside, you know, your personality is inside the computer, and you live like an avatar.
Wow.
And then eventually, hopefully, you know, you can actually download it to a robot that looks human, right? Or human, human kind of nature. So that's a very far-fetched idea.
It's far-fetched, but nevertheless, it's already happening, because think about it. If people are already talking about it, it's because somebody's doing something.
Definitely, yeah. They're billionaires. Actually, they have like a billionaires longevity club where they actually invest billions of dollars, you know, into these ideas, you know, for future research. And, you know, give scientists prizes, you know, if they can come up with something.
Well, they say that it's not a far-fetched idea that Walt Disney's head has and body has been kept in ice because they want to bring him back in the future.
Right. Brings him back to the next point. So you're always thinking ahead.
Of course, Doctor.
Cryonics. Cryonics is freezing, you know, with liquid nitrogen, a head or a body, and in the future that, you know, hopefully they can have some kind of technology to recuperate the person.
But that's kind of expensive, as you say, right? It's only for the rich.
$200,000 it costs.
Wow.
And, in, you know, like 200 people have done it in the world. But, you know, there's a famous ball player, Ted Williams, who did that, you know, and his family had a lawsuit about it, you know, whether they should do that or not, you know. So it's a little bit interesting, controversial, but, you know, we still don't know. These are things that are speculative. But the idea is you're living for a long time or even forever. Let me ask you, Nachin, do you want to live forever or a certain amount of time? What would you say?
I'm an individual that believes in spirituality a lot, and I believe that once you're gone from this platform, meaning like this time, you reincarnate in another time, and just, I think that's in my mind, that's like the premise of life. We live here, and if we mess up this planet right now, or whatever we have in front of us, when we are born again, that's the kind of environment we're going to be living in. So that's why I try to keep more of a harmonious life.
Okay. So you believe kind of in a transitional approach, you know, the spiritual side. You know, people talk about heaven, another universe, you know, alternative things. You know, I mean, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how. We don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, but the only thing we do know is what we can do while we're alive.
That's
right?
True.
See, that's the only thing we know, right?
And we forget that, you know what, we are mortals and that it could happen any second, and yet we live like... sometimes we live a careless life, honestly.
Yes, and that's one of the problems that we're going to talk about. You know, that's one of the factors of not having a long life is being careless. But let me talk to you about something really fun and interesting. People that live long lives and are happy, what we call centenarians, are 100 years plus people. And these are true stories, what I'm going to tell you. There's a lady, 111 years of age, called Agnes.
Agnes.
And they ask her, Agnes, how did you live so long? She says, well, I have take 3 beers a day and 1 shot of whiskey. and then they ask her, well, didn't your doctors warn you against that? I don't know. Because they're all dead.
Damn. She's like, what's up? I did life my way.
Exactly. You know, so they have kind of a positive experimental side. Another guy named Paul, he was 105 years old.
Yeah.
And his friend was asking, Paul, is it really true that you're getting married? He says, well, yeah, my girlfriend wants to start a family. Wait a minute, your girlfriend, how old is she? Well, you know, he's kind of teasing, but he says, well, she's 90, but she lies about her age.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then they ask him, and this is, you know, again, a true story. He says, well, you know, you're a runner, believe me, a runner, 105, and but you injured your leg, so are you going to still run in competitive meets? Well, I'm going to switch to swimming. I know I'm going to destroy the competition in my age range, those old 90-year-old guys.
Yeah. So it's always about perspective and how you see yourself in the environment you're in, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also, they're willing to commit at any age. You know, they can start a new program at 100 years of age.
And that's I think, the gap and the cap we put on ourselves many times, because we say, okay, at 30, I cannot do this anymore. At 40, I cannot do this.
Yes.
At 60,
I'm too old. I'm too old to start a new career. I've had people that started PhD programs at 45, 50 years of age.
Really?
Yeah. And PhD program is, you know, 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
But the reason they do it is because they want to live a full life. Yeah. And it's never too late to start.
That's true. I've always wanted to go back and get my PhD in literature. I was offered a scholarship back in the day when I was doing undergrad. But, you know, family reasons, I had to help them out. So I let it go. But I went in life and I got a PhD in life.
Okay. But remember, it's never too late. I mean, you're, you know, early.
That's true. I want to do it, doctor, just because I love to read also. And because I feel like once you set a goal for yourself and you accomplish it, it's like gratifying. It's beautiful.
It is, yeah. And then again, you know, you're going to be older anyways, right? This is the key. So why not just do something you love? You know, you'll be 10 years older regardless.
Or just hire a professor to work for me.
Not just kidding. Well, hey, wait a minute. Be careful. So let's get into the factors of living a long life. And these are from the centenarians. Number one is personality. there are two traits that make a person live longer. One is called conscientiousness.
Okay.
You know, being a person that's responsible, you know, driving wise, careful, you know, you don't do anything immoral or illegal. You take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. These are conscientious people. They live longer. You know, they, you know, make sure they're living the right way. The other factor is agreeableness. You know, someone who's easygoing, mm-hmm. you know, fun to be around. That's another factor that leads to
attitude,
long life.
Right? It's pretty much
positive attitude. You know, mm-hmm. like some people are very conflictual. I think we were talking earlier. They like to fight.
God.
Negative. Those people, you know, hostile people, yes. you know, they pay the price. They die younger. You
yeah.
know? So it is a psychological price they pay.
And some people do it because out of insecurity, because say, for instance, we were talking about work situations where some workers are bad people to each mm-hmm. other as coworkers.
Yes.
And
right.
it's like, why? Because they fear the other coworker. Instead of saying, you know what, he has his part, I have mine. Let's all, you know, do our thing.
Right.
But,
exactly.
you know, we... In every area, any area you live in life and you work in life, you're always going to find opposition. But I think it starts with you to make the difference, to really look at the situation differently and not be part of, right?
Yeah, being agreeable is being harmonious, right? You know, trying to find the best solution. Another factor, this is something I know, Nachin, you've been working on, mm-hmm. is diet.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They said we should eat 30% less than we eat to live longer, mm-hmm. and we should eat until we're 80% full. You know, the people of oldest life, you know, they stop.
Yeah.
And sometimes you and I, we indulge in the buffet, right? You know,
oh,
where you can eat all you
yeah.
want, and it feels good, but then you feel so full.
You feel like, oh, God.
That kind of stuff can kill you, right? You know,
yeah.
so basically the diet. And this is something that I think you're going to like. Research shows if you eat chile, you're going to have 13% chance of living longer.
Really? I love chile.
I'm into it, but I mean, I know some people love it, right?
I love sriracha. I love Mexican
yes.
chile salsa.
Yes.
And
yes.
you know what? Going back to the diet thing, mm-hmm. that's one thing when I started taking meditation and all that, doctor, mm-hmm. that's one thing that they really put into you. They say your
yes.
body type is different for every food. And sometimes mm-hmm. we make the mistake of just consuming and consuming without listening to our body. So you got to
right.
be aware of what you eat, because that's
yes.
your fuel, and
definitely.
That's what's going to give you the mood through the entire day.
Right, exactly. And the chili releases endorphins, which helps with muscle regeneration. Also, the Mediterranean diet. They say, you know, Greek salads, you know, mm. and that olive oil is very healthy for you, too. The other thing is the mind. The mind is very important in terms of living a long time.
Mm-hmm.
College graduates live 9 years longer than the average person,
right.
just by going to school, right? Stimulating your mind.
It's beautiful. Honestly, doctor, like, to me, that was one of the best blessings I've had in life, like, experiencing a college life. And honestly, I wish more people would have the chance to, if you're not into getting a degree, at least take a course in mm-hmm. a community college,
yes.
whether it's photography, mm-hmm. whether it's whatever you want it to be, but give it a shot. It's such a beautiful, amazing thing to just kind of like unfold your mind.
Yeah, I mean, online courses nowadays, you know, so anything that stimulates your brain synapses, right, your mind. But here's what you should not do, don't you?
Okay.
You got to turn off that Game of Thrones and other stuff.
Waste of time stuff?
Okay, 4 hours a day. People who watch 4 hours of television a day plus have a 50% chance of dying early.
And that's because they're stagnant, right? They're not moving?
Right, sedentary-wise, you know, and, you know, they don't develop their brain. And, you know, a lot of other factors as well. You know, they don't move, right? They don't exercise.
Right.
Even if you read half an hour a night, that's going to improve your longevity. You know, just that little thing right there.
Because you're learning from, a lot of people think to be scared of reading because they say, oh, it's boring. Dude, reading, any book you pick up,
yeah.
it's somebody's work that they took time to build mm-hmm. and experience. Read into those treasures. You might learn a thing or two and survive even more.
Yeah, you can, you know, move into a different world, you know, and basically, you know, improve also your health. Relationships are very important. This is a very crucial thing. Married men who are married and happily married have 46% less chance of having a heart attack.
Why is that?
Just by being married. Well, because of the stress reduction of being in a stable relationship,
mm.
you know, the comfort of being having an emotional partner.
You're not juggling life with other things. You have your
yes.
priorities set.
Right. You have your family structure. You know, so that actually makes you stable and psychologically stable.
Mm-hmm.
You're also less likely to get into car accidents because you're more safe. And more likely to go to your doctor and get checkups.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of guys don't want to go to doctors, but it's their wives that push them to do it.
Yeah.
And that can save their life. Also, you know, having sex actually can improve your life by 3 years if you have sex 3 times a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, that's a good excuse, right, to do it.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah.
Ladies, help us out, please.
Yeah, we need 3 more years of life, so let's do it. So, you know, endorphins and other positive changes. Pets, you know, dogs can actually reduce stress and cortisol, the stress emotion.
Is that because you kind of like see that energy as a pet, like as a neutral energy, that it's agape love and you're not going to have any kind of like confrontations? It's just flowing energy.
Definitely. I think you need a dog in here. Let's get a St. Bernard in this house, right?
Dr. Avi Avila, I'm looking for a sponsor. A
400-pound dog, right?
Sponsored by Dr. Avila.
I don't know about that part, but, you know, you can pet it, you know, I mean, that, and just the petting, you know, creates kind of hormones, oxytocin, right? That,
yeah.
That actually feel bonded. Friendships are very important. They say good friends can decrease your likelihood of early death by 50%.
But, doctor, I think right now, talking about, I realized one thing. I was listening to the podcast in general, and I thought about, you know what, Love University, it's not about just love. It's about loving life in general. Mm. And these are the tips we're giving you because we're trying to help you out based on this research that Dr. Avila has carried out through his entire life. And what he says is not something that we want you to take like, man, these guys want to preach to me. No, it's more about enjoying the moment.
I think so. And by the way, I like that word, loving life. I wrote it down because that really does consummate what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is every part of what we do, you know, you're alive. You know, you're a happy person, right? You're 6 feet over. You know, you're happy, right?
And it's hard, Dr. Avila, to really like. I'm a student of the course, and I record it with you here weekly. But it's hard. But these episodes that we do is like, you know what, little reminders of kind of getting you back into the groove, getting you back into the rail. Once you get out, it's like, okay, you know what, come back. You're not alone.
Yeah, that can be the big thing, because loneliness, we talked about, is one of the biggest diseases in the world, even more than cancer and heart disease in many ways, because something you really can't control psychologically, you know, when you feel isolated.
Especially right now, going back to the topic you were talking about, doctor, about friendships, how important they are. Why is it that sometimes, especially today, it's so hard to find true friendships?
Now, we had a podcast about that, right? Was it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we talked about things like, you know, compatibility, right? Someone that resonates with your personality. People don't have time for each other, right? We live in this fast-paced society. Mm-hmm. So spending time face-to-face with someone, right, that can build a positive relationship. And, you know, the other thing about friends can also help you in times of trouble. You know, let's say you do fall in hard times emotionally, you know, physically, financially. You know, they're there for you. You don't need a lot of friends, just a few close friends, you know,
the good
two,
ones,
three,
right?
Four. Yeah. Like, you know, we talked about the, you know, the fans that love our show. There's going to be a certain number of people that love it. Some people that kind of like it, some people that don't like it. The people that love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to cater to you guys, you know?
Definitely.
And improve your energy.
And going back to it, doctor, I like to always reference back past episodes because Love University is a continuous chain that, you know, one element connects with the other.
Yes.
And that's the way we are. We definitely live and try to practice it. And these are the elements that we have today for you guys to definitely be a better individual and be happier. What's the next one? I'm sorry before interrupting, Dr. Avila. It's just that I like to make it sound not so nerdy, but, make it practical.
Well, okay. The next one leads into what you like to do is humor, right? You know, you're the humor guy, right?
So you see, I was on point.
Not too bad. So definitely, humor, they've done studies where humor can... Oh, is that something you did?
Yeah. Look, we have a button here.
Okay. It's easier.
That was easy.
Yeah. There we go. Hey, we're our special effects guy. We got to bring him in, right?
We got that guy coming up. We don't have the budget for him.
Yeah. So, yeah, it can reduce heart disease. You know, this guy was sick. You know, he was a medical doctor, very famous. Cousins. You may have heard of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was about to die from heart disease. He got the idea, hey, why don't I watch funny movies, you know, like Lauren Hardy and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And comedy and stuff. And that actually changed him. You know, he transformed. He lived another 20 years.
What?
Just by, you know, using humor as a releaser of tension and emotions.
In Spanish, we call it amargados, like people that are sour. And if you can get out of the amargado mindset and really, really just switch your life, your energy.
Yes.
Look, Dr. Avila, that guy, like you said, 20 years, man.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, humor is one powerful thing. Exercise, you know, you and I, we're doing that.
Yeah, you're looking good, Dr.
Thank
Avila.
You, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It can add 3 years to your life, intense workouts, you know. You know, it's very important.
One of the things is that people don't take the time to be with themselves. Develop that relationship. And like you said, exercise. And exercise doesn't have to be at a gym. If you're at home, when you're picking up something, it's about having your congruency with your breathing and your body motion. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, something called priming, where you can actually just do a little bit of workout, you know, stretch a little bit in the morning, and that by itself can get your blood flow and get your mind positive. And also, it can help you with your sleep, which is another factor.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is such a crucial thing. If you sleep less than 6 hours a night, you're going to have a 12% chance of dying early.
Oh.
You know, if you know, 4 or 5 hours, you know, you need to have your restful sleep. So there are tips like, you know, turn off all your computers before you sleep, you know, an hour before, you know. Read a book, you know, do something, take a hot tub, you know, do something relaxing. And use your bed mainly for either being intimate with your partner or just for sleeping. Don't use it for work. Some people do that.
You know, how about people that have a TV in their room? Is that bad?
That's probably not a good idea because, again, you're stimulating your mind and making that association, right, with TV and stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So put away your computers for an hour before, you know, and start to get into the sleeping mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music, you know, whatever relaxes you, right?
A lot of people drink teas, green teas.
That can be good.
And it goes back to the idea of having that relationship with yourself so it can be better the next day and you can reset yourself and say, you know what, whatever happened today,
right?
Okay, But tomorrow's a different day, let's face it, exactly. And get that rest for yourself.
So remember, sleep is kind of a mini death in some ways, right?
Really? You know, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, they even talk about that in the Bible and on other books, you know, that basically, you know, sleep, death is sleep, right? It's just a longer sleep. And, you know, let's say you wake up in a better place, perhaps, if you have a spiritual belief. But think of it that way. Every time you go to sleep, you're dying, right? You're dying for 8 hours.
You don't know if you're coming back.
Yeah, you're unconscious, right? Exactly. Yeah. And the fact that we come back in the morning should be a wonderful gratitude experience. Hey, we're back, right?
And people are like, ah, bro, you know what? I just got 2 hours of sleep. Who cares? Tomorrow I'm going to work. It's all good. Bro, you're killing yourself.
Yeah, there are people that don't wake up, you know, I mean, even young people for whatever reason. So we need to be grateful. Take a vacation, Nachi. Now, you work very hard, you know. Yeah. I don't know the last time you took a vacation, right? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
December, back in December, we're already half of the year. And I think I'm overdue for it, but, you know, we're going to get it. We're going to get it.
Yeah. I mean, with this podcast moving up, you know, we want to do some worldwide traveling and reach other people.
I would love to do this podcast live from another country, say, for instance, España, Italia.
Any country, I think because people need this as well.
Mexico, and South America.
Yeah, we'll just call it a working vacation, right? So we'll have some fun. And actually, they did a study where women that have a vacation every 2 years have 8 times more heart disease than those that have it, you know, at least once or twice a year.
Wow.
So actually, it can actually affect your health. If you don't take that break from the monotony, it can actually, you know, affect your health and make you worse off.
In a bad case scenario, for instance, doctor, when somebody doesn't have the money to go on a nice vacation, does a stay-home vacation work? Like, for instance, take off on a weekend and be with yourself. Mm-hmm. Disconnect from society, from work. Put your phone away and just be in your house, or go to a local place, for instance, like the beach.
Yes.
And that's a little vacation, right? Because matters is being in peace with yourself.
Right. I call it taking a mini vacation, right? Taking a vacation from your own mind. That's really the key, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, go to a park, a museum. You know, it could be inexpensive, right? Mm-hmm. And just, like I said, turn off the phone.
I like that one, doctor. Write that one. Take a mini vacation in your mind.
I like to think about that because often, you know, my son is kind of impatient. He's a young guy running around a lot. And
a lot of testosterone.
Yeah, a lot of friends are like that. And I say, hey, listen, man, think of your life as a vacation. What's a rush, right?
That's true.
Think about it. If your life is a vacation, you take your time, right? Leisurely, do things, what you need to do, right? Uh-huh. Why do you rush around?
Well, it's because, you know,
I want to make this kind of thing. Yeah. I want to make that kind of money, you know. So people need to get that mindset. You know, take a vacation mindset, retake breaks, you know, in your life, right? Yeah. In the daily life. Finding a purpose is crucial. It can increase your life, you know, 30% more.
Kind of like a goal of setting yourself up and saying, you know what, I want to do this in a year. Like for me this year, like I started that diet because my body was feeling nasty at night. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I was just tossing and turning. And I said, it's time for a change. So it's making those little changes that make the difference, but taking that mini vacation to realize what you want to do and setting that goal to make it happen. Once you set that goal, like you said, it's an expectation that your body and your mind is looking forward to.
Right. So that can go together. Like you said, take a mini vacation and meditate and think about what is my real passion in life? Maybe I want to be a singer. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a whatever it is, right? Car mechanic. And I might want to switch. I might even leave my job, right, or my career because this is my real purpose, right? I want to help kids. I want to, you know, help animals, whatever it is. And that, and you know, we're doing the podcast, right? So maybe we did the same thing, right? We took some time off, and now we're back here.
Yeah, yeah.
So that meaningfulness can improve your quality of life and give you a longer life because you have something to get for in the morning. Ask yourself, what do you have to get up for in the morning? See, that was what motivates you, right? What excites you?
And if you get up and you say, man, I hate my job, I think it's time to reconsider your life. And it's not bad. Like Dr. Avila says, there's people that go back to school at a later age.
Yes.
And that might be the point that you need. You might be stretching your dollars a little bit, but the fact that you're going to go and get what you love has no value, man. It has, it's priceless. You just go, and satisfaction is the key.
Yeah, I have a lot of students that are, you know, 40s, 50s, you know, come back to school, they've had their kids, you know, they got a divorce, whatever it is, so they're starting a new life, and they love it. You know, they're just in school to learn. Right. Sometimes they don't even want to major. You know, they just want to take my class, other classes just to learn, and they ask a lot of questions, and they really have a great time.
And that's the great thing about your job, Dr. Avila, that you get to see all kinds of walks of life. You see younger, middle, and top layers, and within all that, I mean, you summarize the points to being happy in all levels, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's generational, but I mean, in a sense, we're all common, right? We all want, you know, love. We all want health, happiness, success. Even longer life if we can have it. Also, faith is very important. Faith can add 8 years to your life, you know, religious, spiritual, whatever it is you believe in. Being, you know, involved in this kind of service, you know, that can be very powerful because, you know, you're looking beyond yourself. It's not just you and your little problems. Many times people get so weighed down by their mind that they suffer and then they feel, I'm the only one, right? And then they become, you know, self-pity. Oh, you're doing that. The words now.
Yeah. No, I've done it. Yeah,
we all do that, right?
I've been there where I don't feel like I'm lost. I mean, when I'm lost, but into a spirituality element, that really puts things into perspective. Because like you mentioned in another episode, we got to be grateful and also be able to, you know, hopeful that one day that you're going to get there and also have that expectation.
Right. And the book I wrote, The Three Secrets of Happiness, you know, the three secrets are very simple. It's optimism, gratitude, and forgiveness. And we talk about the Master Tanaka, and there's a psychiatrist that goes up to the mountains to try to find those secrets. And he's very pompous and arrogant. He says, I know the secrets. But he doesn't. He needs to strip himself of all the ego, and then he's open to finding the three secrets. And those are it's very simple, right?
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness, optimism, and gratitude. Now, those can also help you live a long life.
Yeah.
You know, because those are healing and cleansing emotions that we can have on a daily basis.
And it's a relationship that you have within yourself that we sometimes forget to do. Even forgiving yourself for a mistake, you remind yourself daily, you're dumb. Why did you do this? Instead of saying, okay, I messed up. Oh, well, that's it.
Yeah, regrets, and, you know, that can really add, you know, take years from your life, you know? I mean, both happiness and also even the longevity part, because, you know, you beat yourself up over those mistakes. So loving yourself, loving others, and loving higher power. And that, and we're going back to the same thing, right? We always talk about the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a formula we have, right?
Definitely. It goes back to the basics, but I love the way that Dr. Avila speaks about life in general. Mm-hmm. Like, he gives his theories, but we also go back to what it is. And the idea is that I used to have a teacher, Mr. Diamond. I don't know if he still lives in high school. He was my economics teacher. And he used to say, yeah, in life, you need money. You need this. Obviously, I'm going to give you the basics, you know, supply and demand and all that. But know the one thing in life is this. This is the basic element. He says, follow your heart and you'll never be disappointed. Because in your heart, you know your passions. You know what you want. Mm-hmm. And when you compromise yourself, that's when you're like kind of like selling yourself short, and that's when you start getting the, you know, the stress, the mistakes, because you're not living a fulfilled life.
That's like living a half life or even a death life, you know? So you're not really living, you're kind of dying, right?
You're surviving, right?
So ask yourself, are you living or are you dying? You know? You know, that's the question to ask, right? You know, if you're living, then it can go on forever, right? Whatever your system is. If you're dying, right, emotionally, every day you're getting worse and worse, right? And you're getting smaller and smaller.
And there's nothing wrong, Dr. Avila. This will bring me up to a random point that came up to my mind right now. Is like, a lot of times we do a lot of things to satisfy other people, family members, and we forget about our true passion because we want to be in that group. We want to be accepted.
Right.
Instead of saying, you know what, there's nothing wrong with looking at an alternative lifestyle. Like, for instance, in my case, I love the arts. And a lot of people would say, practical people, yeah, you like the theater major, but what are you going to do? You cannot be a Tom Cruise. You cannot be that. But you know what? My theater major and my literature major have gotten me to where I am today because it has opened my mind. And you never know. Right. Go after your passion and let it be. Try to live your passion and not somebody else's.
Definitely. Or you can even say it in a modern way. Don't live by your inbox. You live by your outbox, right?
That's true.
Because people are sending you ideas and, you know, do this and do that, you know, but then it's not really you, right?
Yeah.
You need to create your own you, and then, you know, you send it out, right? In your outbox, right? You know, you send it to other people.
That's a good way of looking at it, updating
it. So I'm applying your technique, right?
Thank you. Bringing
it down to the technology.
Gee, Dr. Avila.
Every day. So, yeah, so these are the secrets, you know, living a long life, a happy life. You know, whether or not you live forever, you have the passion that you have that makes it seem like forever because every day can be wonderful. Even say in the Old Testament or New Testament, it said, you know, one day in your courts can be 1,000 elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
So one day of happy life can mean 1,000 or 10,000 somewhere else.
That's true.
That's the key.
The key here then at the end of the day is that at Love University, we aim to be better individuals. And the one thing that we also understand is that we're not perfect, but we try to work and try to be as perfect as possible and make less mistakes as we take our steps in life. And Dr. Avila, I want to thank you for your time, for giving time to this podcast, because I feel like even if we reach one person and it makes a difference in their life, we made something.
Yeah, and they'll can spread it to other people. You know the term pass it forward, right? You know, which is a movie that was very famous. You know, doing a good deed and someone else passes it along. So hopefully, you know, this is our good deed. You know, we're doing this from the heart, like you say. And, you know, people that respond with love and, we definitely want people to write us, you know, email us. And we do have an email address, lovetype4u@aol.com. GuyTypes is a website, guytypes.com, and also 310-226-8090 if they have any questions.
Slower, please, Dr. Avila, because I know the last time in one of the episodes you said that through your office you can help victims through the state right here in California to get help.
Yeah, right? Victims of crime, they can get free therapy up to 40 sessions. It's 310-226-8090. And they can call us. And also any questions, and, you know, we do have some listener questions from time to time. And we do incorporate that in what we're doing. So we love to hear from you guys.
Definitely.
You know, the feedback and also being part of our community that we're doing some events that we're going to be promoting pretty soon.
Definitely. You guys, the point with Love University is a course that it's about life and it's about loving life. And that's what we aim to do. And we thank you for joining us at this episode. Yes. I mean, time runs out fast because Dr. Avila and I are individuals that are on the run and chasing our dreams. But in between, we find the time for you guys and for you, because we know if you benefit, we benefit from it, because we are living our passion.
Yeah, and we can talk forever, right? You and I can sit here and just you know, do our thing, you know? Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, so everyone, just remember this idea that you can live forever in each moment that you have. You can live happy in everything you do. Until next time, Love University.
Thank you, Dr. Avila, and thank you.
Thank you.